Thanks, Chuck. Good morning, Midland First. My name is Jeremy Africa, and as one of the pastors here at Midland First, and on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship, whether you're in our sanctuary this morning, joining us online through our live stream on YouTube, perhaps listening on the radio this morning, or later in the week on MCTV, we're grateful for this opportunity to worship with one another, to be the church, and to encounter our living God together. As we begin our time of worship, I do want to take a moment to highlight two opportunities here to lean into our mission of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ here at Midland First. And so the first opportunity I want to highlight is celebrating Reverend Mike Luce's ministry at Midland First. This past summer, Reverend Mike Luce resigned from serving as our member care liaison. Pastor Mike served in this capacity for 4 years. So this coming Sunday, September 29th, we will celebrate Pastor Mike's ministry among us during our 9 a.m. service, and then also with a reception during the fellowship time in between our services. So invite you to please come and help us thank Reverend Mike Luce and his wife Janet for their ministry among us this coming Sunday. Then also want to highlight for you a little bit more around the corner on October 13th. Our various ministries and teams are coming together for our annual ministry fair. This is an excellent opportunity if you are new to the church, or perhaps you've been here a long time and you're looking for new places to connect and serve this fall. And so these ministries will be coming together on October 13th in between our services. This is an excellent opportunity to learn more about what's happening. And what we are doing new this year is encouraging everyone to take part in a spiritual gift inventory. And so this is an opportunity to understand how has the Holy Spirit empowered you to live into and lean into the mission of the church. You can do so by going to the QR code in your bulletin insert. That's the funny looking graphic that you will find in your bulletin insert. You can also fill out a paper copy of this spiritual gift inventory. You'll find those in the parlor, or you can go to the link in your weekly e-blast that you receive from the church. If you aren't yet receiving those, invite you to contact the church office. So these will help you identify what gifts you might have in ministry. And we've asked our ministry teams and groups to identify what gifts match up with their ministries. And so hopefully this is a way on October 13th to pair up with a ministry that you might find engaging, that you might find fulfilling as you live out your faith journey. So encourage everybody to take a moment to fill out that spiritual gift inventory. There's a lot more that's happening in the church. I invite you to check your email for that. But with all of this, Alec Milligan will gather us back together this morning as our bell ringer after our time of greeting. So let us stand and greet one another as we enter into our time of worship. able, and join us in our opening hymn, Lord, Whose Love Through Humble Service. You'll find it on page 581 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Please join me in the call to worship. The greatest in God's kingdom must be the servant of all. Whoever welcomes a child in the name of Jesus welcomes God the Father Almighty. Please be seated.
Could the children come forward, please? Good to see everybody this morning. Okay. So this morning, we are going to echo that affirmation. In Sunday school today, we're going to learn about how Jesus' teaching turned the world upside down. You know, a long time ago, when Jesus was walking the earth, children were not valued the way they are today. And the Messiah, who was the Messiah? Last week's Sunday school lesson, Jesus, was expected to be a king or warrior, not a servant. And unfortunately, the disciples were normal people who did normal things, like argue. But in many things Jesus said confused his disciples. In the Bible we read, "Then he took a little child and put him among them. And taking the child in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me.'" And I want to teach us a prayer that we're going to use often in Sunday school. And the congregation might want to learn this prayer too. So lay your hand out flat, okay? And in the palm of your hand, congregation, I'm watching, make a cross. Now close your hand and let us pray. May God bless you as you walk with Jesus and become great by serving him and his people. Amen. You got Jesus with you right there in your fist.
Thank you, Chancellor Choir, for the reminder of who walks with us. So often on a Sunday morning, we think of our offering as what we place in the offering plate, our gifts and our tithes, and that's a meaningful part of our offering indeed, as it helps us as a church to live out our mission. But then if we take a step back, the truth is everything we do on a Sunday morning is an offering to God in worship, for God is worthy. And if we take one more step back, everything we do in our lives is an offering. And I mention all that because this week we have an opportunity to do that together as a church, even as we go our various places. You might remember from last Sunday that this coming week is Neighboring Week, an initiative through the Midland Area Community Foundation to foster neighboring within our neighborhoods. And so one of our small groups, our Tuesday noon small group, has assembled popping in bags. There's microwave popcorn and a couple of pieces of candy. And we're simply inviting you to take one or two bags home for your household and drop them off with a neighbor. Now, maybe for some of us, that's like an impossible ask. And we wouldn't want to walk up to a stranger's door, even if they are our neighbor. So I invite you to walk up to a neighbor you know and just encourage them, connect with them, and share this gift on behalf of yourself and our church. But maybe God has given you that bold gift of evangelism, and you are open to walking up to somebody you do not know in your neighborhood and invite you to drop off this bag as a blessing. And let us do that as part of the church as we share in this work of growing community in our neighborhoods. So with all this, I invite our ushers to come forward for this morning's offering and for all that we will offer throughout the week. Just like a knife. Almighty God, we pray that you take these gifts, those that we have placed in the plates, those we will live out in our week, and each of the bags that will go from here into the hands of our neighbors. Lord, may they be a blessing of connection with one another as you make life better together. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I invite you to open your Bibles or your Bible app on your phone or tablet to our scripture reading this morning. We find it in Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. If you wish to read along in the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 42 of the New Testament. Today I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee, they being Jesus and the disciples. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead." They didn't understand what he was saying, however, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. After they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you discussing out on the road?" But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him, and said, "Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else." Then he put a little child among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. With the lingering warmth of summer and my need to have some sort of movement or some form of exercise as part of my morning routine, I've enjoyed reintroducing jump roping into my circuit of workouts. And perhaps while it reveals more than you want to know about me, one of my favorite things to do while jump roping is to listen to a podcast that is simply a string of positive affirmations, ranging from the inspirational to the motivational. Having started my day with Bible reading and prayer, I find it helpful to anchor the rest of my morning before the day gets going with positivity. This past week, during one of my jump roping sessions, I ran across a saying that has stuck with me since the first time I came across this quote. This quote is often attributed to Jim Rohn, and it goes like this: "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." Right? You are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. While it might be enticing to argue otherwise, in many ways, this only makes sense. Surround yourself with optimistic-minded individuals, the greater the likelihood that you too are an optimist. Surround yourself with people who are more able, more adept at pointing out everything that is wrong? Well, chances are your mind too will be drawn to such things. When I heard this quote about being the average of the five people you spend the most time with, and knowing we'd be looking at Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37, I couldn't help but think of this in light of the 12 disciples. After all, they spent the better part of 3 years together and with Jesus. As we come upon them in Mark chapter 9, we find Jesus and the 12 disciples on the road passing through Galilee. Galilee being a region west of the Sea of Galilee. And here in the Gospel of Mark, this is an important place, an important region for Jesus. It's in Galilee that Jesus first invited his very first disciples to come and follow me. And later in Galilee, this is where Jesus went ahead of his disciples, having been raised from the dead. And so this is Mark's way, perhaps, of telling his audience, of telling us today, pay attention. Pay attention. Something is about to happen. Something of significance is about to take place. And that Galilee is where Jesus called his first disciples. And Galilee is where his disciples would go to meet him. And in this passage of Mark's gospel, Galilee is where Jesus is going to teach his disciples about what it means to follow him, what it means to live as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so arriving in Capernaum, a place where Jesus had called home and where much of his ministry took place, Jesus and the disciples situate themselves in a home. And as they're getting settled in, Jesus asks them, "What were you discussing out on the road?" Or as the New Revised Standard Version has it, "What were you arguing about on the way?" And what we hear in response is this awkward silence. You know, the kind of silence that happens where there's lively chatter in a room and then somebody walks in and all of a sudden the room is quiet. You might think of siblings and a parent walks in a room, or perhaps a teacher with a lively classroom. But this is what we hear. And knowing what Mark knows and knowing what Jesus knows, this awkward silence is understandable. See, the disciples intended this conversation to be in private. This is kind of like a Snapchat kind of conversation. We don't want it lingering out there. They never intended for Jesus to hear them or to know what was being discussed behind his back. And so Jesus asked them, "What were you discussing? What was it you were talking about out on the road?" Because Jesus knew. Jesus knew that they were arguing about which of them, which of the 12, was the greatest. Kind of cringy, right? See, who we choose to walk alongside life's journey and what we choose to discuss is something worth discussing. After all, those we spend time with, that which we talk about, each of this can shape our hearts, and along with the direction of where we are headed. Perhaps by coincidence or not, I found myself this week in the book of Acts, reading chapters 8 and 9. And what I notice is that, yes, throughout the Bible, but in particular in Acts chapter 8 and 9, there's an awful lot of traveling going on. In chapter 8, Philip the evangelist travels to Samaria. Later, Peter and John, sent by the other apostles, also head to Samaria. Further on, Philip is back on the road and headed to Gaza, where he meets the Ethiopian eunuch. And in the very next chapter, in Acts chapter 9, we find Saul on the road to Damascus, where he encounters the risen Lord. And after his conversion and preaching in Damascus, Saul heads on to the road to Jerusalem, then on to Caesarea, and finally on to Tarsus, which is Paul's hometown. Closing out Acts chapter 9, we find the apostle Peter traveling from place to place, arriving in a town called Lydda, only to move on to Joppa, where he raises a believer named Tabitha from the dead. This was before EVs, before gas vehicles, even before John Wesley's horses. It's a lot of traveling. Skipping over my jump rope and considering what I had read in Acts chapter 8 and 9 and thinking about the disciples and their conversation behind Jesus' back, it occurred to me that each of us is on a path. That each of us is on some sort of road traveling from where or who we are today and where we'll be or who we'll be further down the road. Each of us is on some sort of path. And being reminded that we are often the average of the five people we spend the most time with, perhaps it's worth considering what conversations are we sharing along the way? What sort of conversations are you sharing along the way? Are they the kind of conversations that align our hearts with God's own heart, or have us following in the footsteps of Jesus? Or are the conversations that we're sharing the kind that would introduce that awkward silence if Jesus were to ask us, "What were you discussing out on the road?" Considering all this, I think about the road we are traveling on as a church. And whether it's in our team meetings or committee meetings, or in our small group gatherings, or perhaps our choir or band rehearsals, or our interactions with guests or neighbors from our communities, are our conversations the kind that reflect the kingdom of God? Are our conversations the kind that reflect how God would have things be? Are the conversations that we are sharing, are we furthering one another and the church? Are we encouraging one another as the church in our mission of helping people know, love, and share Jesus Christ? Or how about at work? Or how about at school? Or how about with our neighbors or in our families? How about those conversations? Whether the conversations are taking place over Slack or Instagram, those conversations count? Or how about those quick conversations you share at the mailbox, right? Because that's when you see a neighbor. Or how about if you're a busy family, somehow, some way, the stars aligned, and you're all sitting down at the dinner table together. What about those conversations? Are these kinds of conversations the kind that are encouraging? The kind that nurture our love for God? The kind that demonstrate our love for others? And indeed, even the love for ourselves? What comes to mind for me is that when Jesus asked his disciples what they were discussing out on the road, I don't think Jesus was looking to stump his disciples. If I look at the totality of Scripture, I don't think that Jesus was looking to shame his disciples either. No, I think Jesus knew. I think Jesus knew and wanted more for the 12. And I think Jesus knows and wants more for us whenever we lose our way, or whenever the conversation around us distracts us from remembering that whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. I believe that Jesus wants us to experience and to know the abundant life that comes with knowing that he walks the road with us. The abundant life that comes when we seek first the kingdom of God. The abundant life that comes when we align who we are and what we do with God's best and God's grace. Indeed, perhaps this is worth something discussing. Amen? Amen. Friends, as we share in a time of prayer with one another, we have a lot of new life to celebrate. You'll find in your bulletin this morning, along with the birth of Jeremiah Lott, whose birth we celebrated last week, we also celebrate the recent births of Beckett Riley Hiltonen, son of Rachel and Doug. Proud grandparents are Doug and Leslie. And proud great-grandmother is Janet Haskell. And so we celebrate Beckett's life. And we also celebrate Emma Carol Prey, the daughter of Hannah and Ian Prey. Proud grandmother is Sherry Goth. And so we celebrate new life in our families today as we pray. Would you please pray with me? Loving and encouraging God, whether it was the cross that Hillary taught our kids to pray with a cross in their palm, or perhaps it was the anthem of our chancel choir that reminded us of our Lord who walks with us. Or perhaps it's in the scripture reading from Mark. Our worship today is a reminder that we never walk alone. that you walk life's journey with us. And if we're open to doing so, Lord, we walk this journey with others. And sometimes, Lord, those conversations that fill our day, sometimes those conversations that fill our mind, well, in them we find seeds that you are planting in us. Seeds that you nurture. Seeds that you give growth and bear great fruit. Indeed, seeds, when looking back, we could hardly imagine what you were doing in our lives. And yet, Lord, like your disciples, we too are human in our ways. Whether by doing of ourselves or the doing of others, we find ourselves distracted. We find ourselves drawn away from the abundant life that you have promised and shown us the way. Perhaps like the disciples, we get around to arguing who might be best. Perhaps we find ourselves setting our hearts and minds on a direction that is not yours. Lord, through the Holy Spirit, draw us back to you in those moments. Meet us with your grace. Encourage us with your way. And set our feet firm upon your path. We pray this, O Lord, for one another. We pray this for our families. We pray this for our friends. We pray this for our neighbors and our community. We pray this for our nation. We pray this for the world, O Lord. For indeed, with Jesus, we want to see your will be done. And Lord, as we share together in our prayers, we celebrate a new life that has entered the families of our congregation. We think of Beckett and his family. And pray, O Lord, that you would bless them, that they would find a new rhythm in life that is full of your grace. And we pray for Emma and her family. We celebrate with them. We pray for your blessings upon the Prey family and upon Sherry as they begin that work of speaking a conversation of love and faith into Emma. Almighty God, all this we pray, for we remember that you walk with us with a mercy that is new every morning. And we pray all of this together in the very name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we conclude our time in worship, I invite us to stand as you are able and to join us for our closing hymn, Jesu, Jesu, which you'll find on page 432 of our hymnal or on the screen in front of you. So I want to remind you as we leave the sanctuary today, sorry we have no means to put them out through our live stream in the comments section, but here at the sanctuary, we do have the pop-in in bags, and you'll find them here at the Larkin entrance and also the Main Street entrance. I invite you to take one or two for your household, and then take those to your neighbors and share a conversation. It might be simple as saying, I know this week is neighboring week, so I want to be a good neighbor. Perhaps it's catching up with somebody that you know. Either way, may it be a conversation that encourages us and those we share conversation with along the way. Amen? Amen. Amen.